WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is it's football season. I'm positively rolling around doing stuff. We're going to be with Johnny O on Friday at Costas as part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be on Sunday at Wise Markets with my dear friend Rob Santoni, having the signature crab cake as part of the Crab Wagon at Wise. That's going to be out of Fullerton at 11 a.m. And on Monday, I'm going to be making Don Mohler jealous, although you're invited. Just so you know, you're invited to Fadley's at 2 p.m. with my dear friend John Keller to get a crab cake. I'm going to get out and visit with Damie. And you know what, Don? Two people to begin the recon this week. It is so good to have you on. It's been a couple of weeks since we hung out. I've had two guests this week drop literally into the podcast, into the conversation, that they're Fadley's fans from out of town, who've told me their first stop, John U. Bacon said his first stop in Baltimore is Fadley's. So I know we're doing things right around here, and I know it's been a little while since we've been together. The last time we were together, you were giving the governor a hard time, I think.
Giving him a hard time. I'm not going to revisit that. I said, we didn't give him a hard time. Governor and I had a good chat. Thought the governor was a terrific guest, and, I thought it was good stuff, and I thought the governor defended his point of view well. And when,
by the way, can I defend you as the communications expert around here? That we had a big tussle this week out on social media in regard to green rooming, which you call it preparation. I call it preparation H. I call it green rooming is talking too much about what we're going to do in the air. So you sent me the best communications tool of the week, and I just want to bless you and tell you that you're still my teacher and I'm still the student. And I wrote this down in my new Wise book that they gave me.
There you go.
Here, so this is what I'm going to now, because you sent this to Johnny O. And when I'm in front of Johnny O, by the way, you doing Johnny O with me?
Of course.
You're not going to turn down a Costas crab cake, are you?
Of course, man. You know, we got it all set up. I'm actually leaving another event to come spend some time with you and my favorite CE.
All right. Well, so, and somebody asked me if Johnny O is running for controller the other day, so I have to ask him that. So here's the deal.
We can answer that. No.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said he's going to be county executive.
Brooke Learman's going to be the next.
That's what I said. He's going to be county executive. So in 22, it was something. Just anyway, so nonetheless, sampling of topics is what you. So the word you gave me now is when I send out green rooming to political people. When Ben Cardin is in Ocean City and his people say, "What will we be? What will the topics be?" I wanted to say, and this is my legalese. Including but not limited to, and you have now come up with a word, which is, this is a sampling.
We're likely to talk about.
I love you.
Anybody who listens to Baltimore Positive knows we don't go in a straight line.
That's knows this is the Wild Wild West, because I like it.
We tend to do it. Well, speaking of that, let's get sober for a minute. We are recording a few days after the 20th anniversary of 9/11. I don't know about you, Nestor. I'm curious. Everybody handled it in a different way. I and Linda found that we could only watch the remembrances and the tributes in small doses.
I turned it off. This country handles things differently than they used to. Yeah,
I don't know how many.
I don't need to live it again. That's my point.
Right. I don't know how many people who
I've lived it enough. It's been 20 years. I got it. I have incredible respect. I have visited. I've done all of that. I've watched my wife almost die. I'm not going to sit on my couch and do 10 hours of that on CNN on a Saturday morning. I'm not. I didn't. I won't. Doing it. I woke up. I saw it on Facebook. I'm just not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Now,
every year I could sit around and cry on the day my mother died or my father died. I could cry myself to sleep on Christmas Eve that my mother's not. I don't live my life that way. And I don't recommend it for anyone else. No. And when I see other people do it, I don't stop in and say, you shouldn't honor 9/11. That's disrespectful. Do it however you want to do it. I'm telling you how I do it. And I've watched other people do it the other way. And I pray for all of you because, like, it's just not what anyone who died 20 years ago would want me to do.
No, it's a very hard day. I mean, folks who follow me and my family on social media know that my daughter, you know, we've had her on the show and a very successful educator and now director of educational partnerships for the county executive. Jennifer, one of her high school friends, they were actually co-captains of the cheerleader team, went down in Flight 92. So it's always a really, really tough day for her. My niece Megan had a number of friends who were there in the trade towers that day. So it is a really tough day. And what I am struck by, Nestor, and I agree with you, I'm not able to commit to feeling that sad all day long. Perhaps I should. I don't know. I'll let other people judge
I don't think
that.
You should, but okay. But you get a blessing from me. You care a lot. You care enough. You don't need to wreck your life every year on the same day for any cause. Right. I mean, I that's this month's cause. Next month, it's, you know, when my cat died. Well, that was a terrible day in my life, you know, literally.
I understand. I do think there was something that happened that day, and I shared this on social media because folks were saying, where were you? And I thought, well, I'll share that. And I think in my case, as with so many, it really reflects what happened before and after. And that was, I can remember like it was yesterday, I was in a superintendent's cabinet meeting in Baltimore County Public Schools. We were in an office right next to the superintendent's office. I can't remember what we were meeting about, but in the middle of the meeting, superintendent's chief of staff came in, knocked on the door, opened the door, and said to all of us, we are under attack. You all need to go back to your offices. And we sort of looked at one another and we thought, what does she mean? We are under attack. Does that mean somebody's attacking, somebody's broken into Greenwood, the Baltimore County Public School office, or is a school under what? And I think somebody, if I recall, said, well, Merle, what does that mean? We're under attack.
Well, if you remember, we had on the New York Times photographer and he was in the room. Doug Mills was in the room, Baltimore, you know, lots of roots in Baltimore, was in the room in that school when George Bush, right? I mean, he got it a minute or two before we did probably, but, I was watching live television that morning prepping for a national show at my home making coffee. So, you know, like literally when the second tower was hit, I was in a Perry Hall Liquors with Fritz Deischer. Like I went in, I was just stopping at the supermarket to grab some food. So like I was on the flight from Newark to LA 2 weeks prior because I was syndicated then. So like, everybody has that moment, right? But everybody's seen what the president went through. You were in a position where, like, county government, I mean, every government, every fire department, every airport, everybody, right, was on red alert within 10 minutes, right? Literally.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Unlike anything that's ever happened in our lifetime.
No doubt about it. And I think my point, as I was discussing it the other day, was that question and her comment, we are under attack, and us not knowing what she meant reflected to me that moment was the end of what I call the pre-9/11 world, that we didn't even have the concept or the construct of the United States being under attack. Post 9/11, none of us would have said, what does that mean? So it was indeed a very somber day and, one that I'm sure we will remember year after year because the world was changed forever. And like you said, we'll always remember those 3,000. And as you point out, and you and Jen don't talk about it very often, but Jen is a product of the illness that came out of there, because Jen was up there, what, Nestor, for 3 weeks?
Well, it greatly affected my wife last weekend. So, you know, then it greatly affected my life too. So, you know, my vibe on it at this point was I felt I saw a piece, and I want to leave it at this. Okay. Because I, you know, it's just, I saw a piece on Twitter and I shared it, and it was a New York Times piece from 20 years after Pearl Harbor. So Pearl Harbor was 1941, right?
Interesting.
So right. This is a time in your life that you would remember reading a newspaper, right?
Yeah,
so December 7th, we all know, day will live in infamy, right? I wasn't around. Yeah, I only know it.
But 20 years later, 1961, I would have been 11.
Okay, so you were 11 years old. The New York Times mention of Pearl Harbor on the 20th anniversary of Pearl Harbor was on page 21 and 22.
There you go.
With two 12-inch stories. And it but was all sitting there.
That is a great story, Nestor. Boy, that's a what a comparison. What a great story.
So for me, 9/11 and the 20th anniversary, having watched my wife almost die twice and have 155 right. nights in the hospital and not even know that that's where it came from, and then learning that later in life, and my wife's very emotional about all of it. I mean, she was there.
I would think.
When those stories you read about the smell and all – that she was there.
She was
so
there.
I was in New York 2-3 weeks later. I had one of my favorite guests of all time, Ross Greenberg, was on the show this week talking about his documentary on 9/11 with Bobby Valentine and Joe Torre. And, you know, I went to New York. I was in New York. The place that I used to do my syndicated show was under the Twin Towers on the water, on the west side, on the Hudson. So, you know, I'm very familiar with all of that. I saw all of the memorials. I went into Penn Station, like all of that. I have recollections of all of it. It's not foreign to me. I just put it on page 21 and 22.
No,
it's there. It's in the paper that day, and I can move on and go down to the boatyard and have a crab cake with Peter Mayer, which is what I did that night to raise money for, you know, for the Maritime Museum. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate that. Then at the end of that, you jump on a plane, you fly cross country to watch the Ravens open the new Raider Stadium. First of all, talk about your travel experience. How did you feel being on a plane while COVID is still raging? Let folks out there know what that felt like.
Planes were full. Stadium was full.
Anybody masked in the stadium?
I was when it got crowded. I mean, you know, so as big as the place is, the alcoves were not particularly big. You know, I think the skyboxes are big. The walking area, and I walked on every floor with my wife, and we walked comfortably in lots of spaces. We got there very early, and then we had a mask nearby. And when Don, this is just a fact of life now, right? This isn't about the football game or, to your point, the airport or anywhere. I feel safe when you're not too close to me. And when you get too close to me, and I've seen you, you know, I've been out with you, bro. You know, like, I don't get close to anyone. And when people hug on my wife, it pisses me off. And it pisses me off when she's getting up on people, when people get up on her, because they're getting up on me. So I know that I'm living life as the 40-year-old the 52-year-old virgin. You know what I mean? I'm living life in this, trying to not touch people, trying to still have as much fun as I can. Go to Eagles concerts, go to Stones concerts, get on airplanes as best as we can. The people on the planes that we were on were cool. Everybody was cool. The Raiders fans, I heard some stories and stuff. My wife sat in the upper deck alone. She paid, are you ready? $205 face value for the worst seat up in the corner. That's where the NFL is. She paid $18 twice for 20-ounce Modelos or 24-ounce Modelos. So beers are $20 inside. And I don't know what to say as to where the value is, right? Like, this is a great, and you play the Kevin Byrne role whenever I piss on the Ravens or the Orioles. But at what point would they price you out? At what point, if Baker Koppelman said to you, Don, Jeff, you guys, it's $205 because you're in the first five rows. And that's the upcharge we charge now because you want to keep the $95 seats. You go sit. I remember how much it pissed off all my Terps fans 25 years ago when they moved into the new facility. You and I lived it 30 years ago when Angelo's put all of his bunkies down into other people's box seats and all of that. I don't even know anymore. How much longer are you going to go to Ravens games?
Oh, I think I'll go. I mean, my
could
son
they price
son
you out? Could they?
Oh, sure. No, that's a really good question.
Would it price you out at 205 a throw to sit in the corner? It would price me out.
I don't know. I can't.
$410 for me and my wife to go to the game.
I can't remember what I'm paying. Well, what am I paying now?
I think it's $100. It might be $95. I don't even know.
I think it's more. I think it might be more. But I'll go look. I have. It's interesting. It's interesting, and we're going to – I know we have to wrap up because you've got another big obligation there. But I'm trying to make that decision right now regarding Elton John at the Garden. Linda and I are on what I call see them before they're gone tour. I want to make sure –
I'm doing a similar thing. There's going to be a point where I'm going to wake up in Omaha, Nebraska 2 weeks from now because I need to see Don Henley sing one more time.
No doubt about it. That's why I saw Paul Simon. That's why I've seen James Taylor twice in the last couple
and
of years.
And I don't remember you ever seeing you happier. Well, maybe when you were giving Hogan a hard time, but never seeing you happier than you were James Taylor.
Oh, part of that is it's Linda's all-time favorite artist. I thought he and Jackson Brown were both great.
Well, he makes your wife happy. So if it makes your wife happy, it makes you happy.
Let me get back to your question. So for nosebleed seats right now at Madison Square Garden to see Elton John in February, it's north of $200. I have not pulled the trigger. Because of what you said, you
spent $200 going to Broadway shows in New York all the time, though, right?
Close. And I love Broadway.
$200 prices
shows.
You out on a Broadway show. You're cheap like me. I've done a $500 night with Springsteen, and that and I could not pull the trigger on a Hamilton night like that. I couldn't do it.
When Bruce's show first appeared. I forget what the tickets were. You went. It was
$1,000 in the front and $250 in the back. Yeah.
So that was it. I looked. I love Bruce. I wanted to see the show. I saw it was a grand, and I said nope. I said even if I'm fortunate and blessed enough to be able to afford that, I'm not spending $1,000 to go watch a show. So to answer your question, is there a point that sports could price me out? I'm sure there is. I hope. We don't reach it. We don't have nearly enough time to go in depth to what happened on Monday night. I do have a simple question for you because you know I love this organization. I love the Ravens from Steve on down to Eric to Dick to Kevin, who still advises them from Hilton Head.
I love them more than they love me, but that's okay. It won't stop me from loving them.
As much as I love them, I am a little befuddled, and it's the first – probably the first time in Ravens history that I'm befuddled at how they put the roster together. And what I mean by that is if I'm a managerial person and I know we have one of the most valuable assets in the NFL in Lamar Jackson, it would seem to me that when I'm in a draft room or a trade room or anything else, my first question is, how could we protect this asset? And the fact that we came into this year with what I think right now, Nestor, and some people have kidded me already that it's hyperbole. I'm not sure it is. I think we may have one of the worst offensive lines ever put together in the history of the NFL. What I saw, you were at the game. You might not have been able to see it as clearly.
Oh, my
what
God. I did you see in the history of the NFL? I mean, that is hyperbole. So I'll call bubble bullshit on that
I'm
right
not
now.
Sure.
Like,
I'm not
come
sure.
on.
I'll tell you what. I would say that no right tackle in the history of the game has ever had a worse game.
I'll hear you that the offensive line, I think their issue was the Ronnie Stanley thing and believing and wanting to believe and having such a heavy investment in him.
Correct.
That's where that is. They invested in Zeitler. They believe in Bozeman in the middle. Now they lose Phillips. I can sit here and play the next man up game. By the way, I got Billick to admit that next man up's not really a thing this week.
well, there is not. And that's
I'll get Feinstein
thing.
On to talk about that.
Yeah, they didn't have any depth, obviously, at that position. We'll talk about it a lot more. For example, my concern is Nestor moving forward, because you and I both love the team. I love being in the playoffs. I'm not sure this one is fixable. I don't care how good Lamar is, and I think Lamar is really, really good. Is he Patrick Mahomes? No, but nobody else is either. I think Lamar is right there with that second tier, the Josh Allens, the Kyler Murrays, and we got to go, and we're going to come back and talk more Ravens and more Orioles. Oh, my Lord, what a mess. But we got to go. Recon, we'll see you soon.
All right. He is Don Mohler on behalf of all of our sponsors and all of our friends here this week. And we are visiting. Evan Brown's on next week. We're going to talk up for sure the Beaumont. By the way, Jen and I snuck into the Beaumont last week. So we snuck in. We had the pork chop with the mustard and the spinach underneath.
Pretty darn good, isn't it?
Delicious, delicious. Get out to the Beaumont, our friends at State Fair. I've been wearing the State Fair shirt all day. I'm at Fadley's on Monday. I'm at Wise Markets in Fullerton on Sunday. And I'm at Costas on Friday. So I am doing the local Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be with Johnny O beginning this week at Costas. And then Mayor Brandon Scott joining us at Coco's down the line. I'll be breaking that news out at BaltimorePositive.com.